Ben, that's
again, very unfortunate.
That's the Frenchman, the Belgian, the European. You still have hope, don't you? You still looking?
Oh yeah. No, no, I'm full of it.
Okay, let's go to science. Now back to science.
Yep.
To organize ignorance for deliberate discovery, that means you already know what the range is of a discovery you could make, and it would be fallacious because it's within known. You're attempting to chart by recognizing new process patterns through fresh percepts to harmonize knowledge for rapid access by reorganizing the old ground rules with new concepts. So use new percepts and new concepts, using both. To escape tunnel vision through second sight by perceiving the complementarity of art and science for matching and making, and restore the ancient unity of thought and feeling.
By that time, you know, Marshall would just stop and say, "I need a rest."
Yeah.
That's more twisted.
Yeah, and Bob Logan would say, "I don't know, Barry, that seems a little extreme."
ever the gracious man.
Yeah. Yes, the professor. Okay, then you got communication. So there's a major theme, communication. What does Barry say about that? To anticipate all the main effects of everything natural. In other words, he's saying you must enter the world knowing everything. That's what he's saying. You anticipate all the main effects of everything natural and artificial, sacred and profane, dead and alive, on every other living body at itself. That's quite a...
Well, you know that... about the same time, no, a bit earlier, Eugène Ionesco had invented the doctorat total, the complete doctorate.
He presented that in a play?
Yep. He actually said in La Leçon, it's called The Lesson, that a little young woman coming to get a private lesson from a professor who vows to teach her everything. And it, of course, ends up devouring her or something like that. I can't remember how it ends, but it's not well.
So Barry thinks he's going to run it up the flagpole. He's going to say he's going to try pull it off. And he's going to do it by harmonizing programs with their media in order to share intended experience with living beings involved in this communication ecology. I think Barry is trying to show with this excess verbiage about how complex everything is, and nobody's even attached. That's like you saying, not even dealing with the huge change that's happening. You know, they're being timid.
Yeah.
They're keeping you within known areas of concepts. And then you also have to perceive that such communication is revolution by conversion, both inner and outer, and to leave communication between machines to engineers and scientists. So let them build these machines that are obsolete the day they get out, because the effects have already been anticipated if you're aware of everything. See, these are ridiculous statements for a normal, practical person, right? But they are necessary, because he's trying to go past what anybody ever said. You know, he's really trying to be the most generalist general.
Sure, it's a bit Finnegan's Wakey.
That's right. It's Finnegan's Wake in English. He reduces it to one language. He's not dealing with verbal modules. That's what McLuhan said Joyce was obsessed with, verbal modules. These are post-verbal environmental modules he's talking about. Like to harmonize programs with their media in order to share intended experience with living beings involved in this communication ecology. It's already balanced.
I would say that we're saying so much, you guys can't even respond, right? We're just saying too much. This is actually just ridiculous nattering with a guy who wrote a lot of natter.
It's thick.
What?
It's pretty thick.
You know what? We're in electric space, and I'm just filling it up with words. I don't have to take any responsibility for what I'm saying, because people are listening to be listened to listen, just to have something go in their ears.
That's right, Bob.
That's
correct. Correct.
That's correct. I was correct there, right, Sarah?
Yes, correct.
You know, and the electric space allows me to do that. The content is speech. The actual environment is the electric space that you can just jump into, and anything can happen as content. So you can provide any kind of content, because you're not dealing with people directly.
Responsibility is thereby negated. You're correct.
What was the last two syllables?
You're correct.
You're correct, yeah. This is phatic, highfalutin phatic. Oh, yeah. So I forgot to tell you about the manipian. So if you look at the article, Bert, can we go back to the article?
Yes.
And by the way, I just picked at random, and there was the mystery landscape point you were talking about. I say it right there. It's not the one where I get into ion. That must be later, but just start it right at the right point. So I'm looking at these lists of 10 points. And above politics, I saw the phrase Manipian Global Theater. You'll see it five lines above politics. You see that?
Yes. Created by the history
In the delusion of talking to Derek, I suddenly said, holy shit, Barry said Manipian Global Theater. I thought I was the only one who said that. And then I go on about how the hell did Barry do that? Well, when we finished the recording, I was looking at it, and I said, what the fuck was I talking about? I wrote that. For some reason, I thought it was Barry writing that part.
Oh, yeah, that's so right. This is your article.
This is my writing. This is my introduction. He didn't write this. So it's not true that he thought of something before I did. And yet, it sounded like a great capitulation by Bob. He acknowledged that someone came up with something before Bob did. But it turns out it's not true.
Yestermark.
Bob was fucking fucked up, deluded.
In the electrical space, talking to Kirchhoff.
What?
You were in the electrical space talking to Kirchhoff, and you got deluded.
I really was shocked. Manipian Global Theater? Who that? Barry knew that?
That's so funny. What about Yestermorrow?
That's from Barry. He coined that. That's on the last
really because it's similar to Lasterday. That's mine. Lasterday night. Yes. Yeah.
Lasterday
morning. Lasterday morning. Yep.
It's too bad. I was a bit disappointed that it was just me because it would have been good if someone else said it.
Well, Bob, when you replayed it, I listened to what prompted me to write down uncharted, uncharted sea. Is that you made a comment?
Yeah, that's the part we got to. That's the part we got to. I just picked it random, and we got right to what we were talking about. That's pretty good.
Right, it was perfect.
What are you saying?
Because you said something about that we're living beyond our perceptions, and that's really profound because that's something.
Well,
no one's ever
said it simply. And that's what he says. Don't you can't believe what you're seeing. That's because usually our perceptions are what we see. So I say we're living beyond our perceptions. That's just saying we're living what we can't see.
Yeah.
I mean, you just have to imagine all the communications being broadcast right now.
Yes.
Endless machinic communication going on.
Prophecy one, Bob. The last one. Explain that, please.
Let's see. I'm not inclined to explain anything.
No, I'm just...
I have to with Derek. But with you guys, I don't have to. You guys aren't going to show up or, I don't know, there's nothing there. One empty basket into another, except for Bert, but... The rest of you, I don't feel like telling you. You don't say anything. Derek says something that I can respond to.
Bob, is ABC the prophecy? Is that what Roxy was reading and it blew her away? Is that?
Yes.
Is that the book?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's on my wish list, yeah. That's
like she wrote
something. Get this book. It's called The Second Genesis. Seriously, Bob almost made me upset with the stuff earlier, and then so I just opened it to a page.
You don't understand. Sir.
Listen,
else. Look, I'm reading Barry Nevitt. It's so ridiculous. That's worth reading. These people who spell out in English some agenda with a point of view is not worth reading. They're just talking in English.
Okay, Bob. But it's just talking about the Mothers of Invention and Frank Zappa and the Everything's a Go-Go.
He says this?
No, this is a totally different part of the book, but when I was
are you saying that he talks about Frank Zappa in this Second Genesis book?
Same book, yeah. Yeah, I was like, well, maybe this book isn't
Well, read what he says.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, okay. Free, in a free choice situation, everything's a go-go. Every man's a swinger, or seems to be, seems to want to be, and every woman too, which is very, with the very young apparently in the vanguard. There is no way to document for certain the degree of correlation between public displays and private acts. To what extent, for instance, a teeny bopper's gyrating to rock music is merely an innocent letting out of excess youthful steam. But if we can believe Frank Zappa, who is the leader composer of one of the nation's top rock groups, the Mothers of Invention, comma, ought to know, dash, quote, the level of involvement with today's music is quite amazing. One example, groupies. These girls who devote their lives to pop music feel they owe something personal to it, so they make the ultimate human sacrifice. They offer their bodies to the music or its nearest personal representation, the pop musician. These girls are everywhere. It is one of the most amazingly beautiful products of the sexual revolution, end quote. So that's, he's quoting Frank Zappa right there in this book.
Well, that's just horny Frank talking about groupies. And this guy is, if he, I bet that guy probably couldn't handle 1983, wherever society got by 1983 with AIDS, he probably couldn't take it. I mean, it's just it's just an enthusiasm about the moment. There's no predicting going on. He's just saying, yeah, keep on consuming.
Well, the afterword is that the role of science is what needs to be of the most, will be of major consideration in what the general principle of encouraging research in is the goal of these people trying to
Look, Sarah, one of the things Ian said to me and Carolyn says, you are going to piss a lot of people off. And he was talking about scientists, engineers, high-tech fucking corporations. We are going to piss them off. Didn't he say tonight? He said tonight that the RNA drops are going to be the only currency because it's the only thing that has any effect.
Oh, yeah, because honestly, like, this book too pleads the case, the suicide thing. Is it murder then if we've burned all these bodies of people instead of cryogenically freezing them until the cure for their death could come? Have we murdered all these people?
No, they sign off stuff. They volunteer to be in that.
Right.
See, that's silly. Look,
hey Bob,
we can go on and on about what we're doing, and then they go, prove it, and all we have to say is take the drops. That's all we have to say, take drops. So anybody come along and say, you guys are a bunch of bullshitters, what a fucking snake oil. No, take the drops. That's all we have to do. Like, you heard that. Well, didn't, no, you probably didn't, Bert, but did you, Sarah, hear Ian saying they're going to have to make the RNA drops the base of the new currency because it's the only thing that does anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard that, Bob. I was listening in on the Internet. I did hear that.
Yeah. And is Ian nuts? Not if you listen on Mondays. If you listen to Carolyn's show, you listen to the testimonies coming in every day. So there's going to be a lot of ignoring, an attempt to ignore. The people are, see, this is the revolution the people can cause. They don't have to listen to any experts. You hear all these idiots, they go to the doctor, the doctor fucks them up. They got to stop going to the doctor. All they have to do is talk to Dr. Dean. Puts everybody out of work. We don't need your research. Ray Kurzweil, your spiritual machines are here.
Hey, Bob, do you remember how Ian was mentioning John Locke a few times last night?
Yeah.
or a few hours ago. So there is a John Locke in Lost, but there is another John Locke. His dates are 1634 to 1704.
We did talk about him. He's the guy that's the basis of the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, so John Locke and the Earl of is connected to the Earl of Shaftesbury.
Oh, was he? Was he connected, involved with them?
Very much
so. I knew that.
Closely. I didn't. I just came across after he left. I was looking into it. So in 1667, Locke became confidential secretary and personal physician to Anthony Ashley Cooper, who's also known as, you know, the Earl of Shaftesbury. But he's the first one, the first Earl. Later Lord Chancellor and the first Earl of Shaftesbury. So his name also, John Locke's name was also familiar to me because I remember coming across him in one of my psychology textbooks back in school. And he had the empirical theory of knowledge.
Yeah.
And his theory was all knowledge comes exclusively through experience. He argued that at birth, the mind is a tabula rasa, or blank state, slate that humans fill with ideas as they experience the world through the five senses. So
yeah, he's a product of the printing press. So here's the important thing. Sarah or Lovejob stated a question, and his answer was Earl of Shaftesbury. So we could go back to the historical guy, but there was an actual Earl Shaftesbury right now involved with a murder case. And he could say John Locke, which was on Lost, and that could, you see how he took something from 400 years ago and it was applied it to today. And it just seemed ridiculous. How could the Earl of Shaftesbury have anything to do with anything? But we'd already talked about John Locke on Lost. And so he knew, I knew, that if he said Earl Shaftesbury, that relates to John Locke, but also it refers to court and laws, which was Sarah's situation. So it was the meme of legality, of court, that Ion cited the original guys who got involved with it, you know, after the printing press. And how they come right up today, and there's a scandal. And then Ion was not clear on why he exposed the whore, the stepmom that killed him. And I said, oh, how come you're letting that out? And he says, oh, they deserve it, you know. We're going to expose them. We're not going to tell you whether Hillary murdered Bill or not, but we will tell you about the present Earl of Shaftesbury. There's so many ridiculous, contradictory, multiple, over-layered threads going on. It's like Ion is always thinking on Barry Nevitt's level. No wonder he says one thing, and then it can go in a thousand ways, depending on who's listening. The complexity that Ion has to live with, we should all cry for him.
And then he can cry for me.
Okay, let's do Alan Cabal. And we'll do this to mock Alan. Since he's not responding, we'll turn him into an enemy. Okay. Everybody going to be quiet? So I don't need to... You can respond, laugh. So maybe I won't mute. So here we go. On New Year's Eve... Now, I haven't read this yet. So I might stumble. Might not. It's not very long either. Okay. On New Year's Eve, 1969, I know exactly where I was. We were at Dave Worster's, and he talked about Mr. Russell, who could see into stars. His eyes could see into stars. Forget the guy's first name. And... So we were in Seattle, Dave Worster's New Year's Eve, 1969. On New Year's Eve, 1969, in a large log cabin in Rancocas Woods, New Jersey, I took 4,000 mcgs of pure LSD. What would that be, microgram? No ideas?
Well, What was it?
Well,
MCG.
MCG.
That's micrograms.
All right. He took, Alan Cabal took 4,000 micrograms of pure LSD, 8 hits of 500 microgram blotter. 8 times 500 is 4,000. The guy had a huge roll of blotter acid. He said, quote, they're four-way hits, 500 mics each. How many do you want? Unquote. For some random reason, I said 8, and ate them all in front of him, which prompted him to alert the other adults to my weird choice. They all knew how familiar I was with the drug and its effects, and they understood. I learned a lot that night, things about the nature of reality that you'd probably rather not know. Don't try this at home or anywhere else. Let me be clear on that. Increasing the dosage with LSD does not extend the duration of the trip significantly. It increases the intensity. My experience was challenging, but ultimately pleasant. Your mileage may vary. I just turned 16. I was a runaway. Cops were keeping a casual eye out for me. Sergeant Frank Luckentory and his partner Ken Hatfield from the Camden, New Jersey Police Department Juvenile Division were a lot less than casual. I was learning stealth and invisibility. Invisibility is all about understated confidence and concealed intelligence. Never flash your cards. Always play a little dumb. It works in getting to the truth about character. Besides being a drug dealer and a whore, I was prolifically shoplifting paperbacks, meat of various kinds, and cartons of cigarettes from a variety of outlets. I also enjoyed sucking the nitrous oxide out of whipped cream cans in the supermarkets I stole cigarettes from. Wait, what's your problem? Why are you fucking with the phone? What is it? You going to say anything? Okay. I also enjoyed sucking the nitrous oxide out of whipped cream cans in the supermarkets I stole cigarettes from. I was insane. The attention from the cops was inevitable, especially given my loose connection with the anti-war group Philadelphia Resistance, helping draft dodgers get to Canada, and my very direct connection with the center of LSD distribution in New Jersey at the time, the Barn Arts Theater. The exquisite blue crystal methamphetamine I was distributing as a juvenile leisure service. Read that again. The exquisite blue crystal methamphetamine I was distributing as a juvenile leisure service of Funzie Teary's Jersey outfit was the icing on the cake. Funzie Teary. This is not what you think of when you think of hippies, but we didn't call ourselves that. It was considered a derogatory term. We called ourselves heads or freaks. I was definitely a freak. Fifty, 75 micrograms of LSD is a terrific and harmless antidepressant. 125 micrograms of LSD will enhance your senses and open you to novel ways of thinking about reality. And with 150 to 200, you're going to have some kind of religious experience. You can break any addiction in the moment when who you really are confronts who you think you are. Above 250 micrograms, it gets into absolute timelessness and a state both immersed in and beyond physicality. No sensible person with any knowledge of the drug, and mine was considerable, would consume 4,000 micrograms of LSD under any circumstances, let alone a giant log cabin with a roaring fireplace stuffed to the rafters with tripped-out architects, actors, writers, painters, sex fiends, and random criminal types on fucking New Year's Eve in the woods in New Jersey. Let me read that. Let alone a giant log cabin with a roaring fireplace stuffed to the rafters with tripped-out architects, actors, writers, painters, sex fiends, and random criminal types on fucking New Year's Eve in the woods in New Jersey. I met Big Molly the Shredder, also a.k.a. also known as Aleister Crowley's ultimate demon, Corazon. And because I did not resist, I caught a glimpse of the pilot light of the universe. It would be another 10 years before the word fractal entered my vocabulary, but I perceived reality as fundamentally fractal that night. I perceived my core consciousness as fractal, a complex convergence of varying biological functions and hives attracted to a signal. This was 40 years before the full realization that the endocrine system and bacterial hives in the human body influence human consciousness. Your brain is not the boss. Conventional science is still resistant to the idea that the signal of consciousness determines the physical form. By all accounts, I spent that night huddled by the fire, blissed and blissed, watched after by loving friends. I perceive what I learned much later to be the Everett Wheeler hypothesis, the ever-enduring quantum foam. I swam in it with large, colorful monsters. In many of those worlds, I am a large, colorful monster, immortal and Lovecraftian, John Carpenter's version of the thing. I witnessed the Copenhagen hypothesis, the ever-collapsing quantum foam. I resolved the apparent conflict between the two to my personal satisfaction, and that has been my personal cosmology ever since. It was the first time I heard Pink Floyd's Umaguma. I was cradled in the arms of a sweet woman in her mid-20s who was just sort of playing with my body when I asked her sincerely, "Is that music?" It was all Pink Floyd, Stockhausen, Arthur Lee's Love, Ligeti, The Soft Machine, Strauss waltzes, Donovan, Wagner, explorations of music concrete and rampant psychedelia. That night completely reordered my sense of music. I understood entropy and the irresistible motion of the universe toward perfect balance via heat death. I understood the illusion of time as a practical matter related to our need to function in the world as isolated biological organisms in need of shelter, food, and clean water. I fully realized what Alan Watts was driving at in his lectures and books. We are the fruit of the earth, like apples on a tree. I grasped the core of Buddhism and Hinduism. I perceived the fundamental flaw of the so-called Abrahamic religious traditions and their pathetic and ignorant reliance on a sexist vengeful, genocidal, child-killing God. I embraced Satan, the rebel spirit, who appeared to me as an unassuming, beautiful, confident, and utterly tripped-out woman in her mid-20s, caressing and comforting me as I ventured forth into the vertiginous, yawning void of the abyss. I was in good hands for the first time in my life. She led me upstairs into ineffable comfort and joy. In the morning, she was gone. I never got her name, and I never saw her again. Well, did we have to hear this? The kid was obviously fucked up, right?
Thank you.
If Ian was
what
here,
I was thinking.
Ian would rip Alan's cabal sacred vision into shredded McDonald's hamburger vomit.
Who is this? What is this that you're reading?
Hey, weren't you up on our Alan Cabal session?
I thought I read it with you last week or looked at it last week. Is it just that blog of that guy?
Yeah.
It just sounds like Daniel Pinchback.
Right. Yeah.
I just go,
knows Daniel Pinchback. No, maybe not. He left New York.
He's not that good.
He would know about Pinchback. Cool. Pinchback may not know him.
Ooh. Nice.
I know Daniel Pinchback.
That you guys, right? He suggested you two should meet alone, right?
No. Too many. Who are you referring to? Don't say he.
Daniel Pinchback.
Say name. Okay. No. Say the full sentence. Who
did
Daniel
Pinchback? Did Daniel Pinchback himself suggest to you that the two of you should meet alone?
Yes.
Thank you.
We did meet on his doorstep.
No, that's all. That's all. No further questions. No need for. Go ahead, Bob.
I told him that he needs to talk to the Evergreens. Unfortunately, the Evergreens stopped taking sessions right then. So he didn't. So he went to Africa and took ibogaine and sailed all around doing all this stuff that he writes about in his book. A few years later, he gets on George Norrie and has to live with that till even today and ignore Ion. We are challenging you, Alan, to get out of your fucking juvenile delinquent fucking fucked up reverse version of megalomania and dare to engage what you thought you saw. This is the ramblings of a semi-illiterate fucking idiot who heard about this, heard a little Buddhism, a little Hinduism, a little Copenhagen theory, a little Stockhausen.
Jack of all trades.
All the stuff you can pick up when you walk around New York City anytime between 1980 and 2000. It is pretty outrageous to take 4,000 micrograms of pure LSD.
I don't know. I don't know. That's a debatable statement. And how do you know that that's what you're taking? You have to know for sure that's what you're taking. And
right.
Because I'll leave it there.
So what is Alan trying to, why do we need to know he had this experience? I challenged him, told him to get, and so he says, wait a minute, Bob, I don't need to have any of your crap from ION. I had this experience 40 years ago. Look, I went to the center of it all and saw it all and got pissed off at Christianity. Well, we're so cool here, we don't even get pissed off at Christianity. We actually revitalize it. We make it meaningful.
Yeah, and usually when you see it all, just the way he described it in his experience, you want more. You want more of that feeling you got. But maybe
yeah.
He's, like, completely in the dark still about you. And that's why I wanted to know from ION if he even opened your email.
That's right. What did ION say? He didn't answer, did he?
He was gone by that time.
Oh, yeah. It was a good question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're going to have to wait a week. Anyways, it's odd. We're doing a nice story about, hey, fuckface, and he wants to tell us this. Maybe next week there'll be a reason. Next week's story will need this background.
Ooh, can you plead insanity? I feel like it's manslaughter if you give somebody that much LSD at once, legally. Or something like that. Or you can plead insanity if you ingest a certain amount. Maybe not plead insanity, or it's like legally insane, criminally after that.
You're rambling.
Yeah, no, I'm just... You said, why does he want us to know this? And I'm guessing it's, I don't know.
Maybe he just wants to talk about his experience.
Don't shit a shitter. He's laying down a pile of shit in case he needs to fall back on something. He's like, oh, I was crazy. I took this much acid at once. Find someone else that did that and say they're not crazy.
The fractal's not even a relevant concept anymore. He's making a big deal of the fractal. Ion fucking rips the fractal apart.
Or
Ion
did
rips
he
it,
stitch
rips
it
up the Everett Wheeler hypothesis, rips up the Copenhagen hypothesis, rips up the idea there was a sweet woman in her mid-20s. No such thing ever happened. There never was a sweet woman in her mid-20s disguised as Satan. The Abrahamic religious traditions just come out of the phonetic alphabet. Alan Watts learned everything he knew from Dave Worster. You know who Dave Worster is, Alan? The satanic Anton LaVey, as a young man, lived with Dave Worster in San Francisco.
Really?
Yeah. When Dave and Vern were in San Francisco in 1961, Anton LaVey, what did Dave say he used to do? Anton LaVey... He had some little quirk. That's in my 24-hour interview with Dave Worster.
He's still alive?
Dave Worster is.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Bob.
Yes.
Speaking of Dave Worster, I went back and listened to the Relax tape that you sell.
Yeah.
And ION that's a very, I'm only at the halfway point. I'm just started to get into the formula, but the first half hour is very interesting, what Ion said about Dave Worster, and now it's really clear to me. When I heard the relaxed tape 2 years ago when I got it, I didn't understand it because I think that's when Worster was still good on the scene. But
right.
It's very interesting. Ion said that if he was consciously aware, he'd still be doing it.
He'd still be doing the awareness thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or he would be able to accept what you and Carolyn were doing. And that's panned out to he couldn't accept it. So it's pretty interesting for me to
hear. Oh, Ion criticized him a bit.
Yes. Yes, he did.
Well, I always knew Dave was ornery, but I enjoyed talking to him. But when he starts making up shit based on someone else telling him crap, we haven't got time to waste on that. You know, he wasn't going to register what we were saying we had. I mean, I'm telling him we got Coldplay and all these other things, and all he can say is that you just want to talk to an astral voice and break all records. You know,
wow.
Talk along the longest time or something. What a stupid conclusion.
He was looking at it from a competitive view.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He didn't want to accept it. He was just being resistant to it.
And this is our preamble to our competition with Alan Cabal. I am competing with Cabal.
But did did Worster have a change where he didn't, like, he gave up on pioneering? Or you're saying he wasn't aware of everything that he was doing, or Ion was saying?
Ion said he wouldn't have stopped doing what he claimed to be doing.
Right, so he was doing something and he gave up on it?
Yeah, well, or he wasn't doing anything. He didn't have any sustenance. But that's not the issue. I'm not taking that view of Dave. Ion often says, I don't know what any of those people were doing. Ion says they don't know what Casey was doing, what Michael Blake Reed was doing, what they were doing. Ion just says, we're the completion of it all, and we can make things happen.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. If you can,
like,
see the Coldplay,
like,
machine,
Ion,
holy shit, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it's reassuring, like when Ion says, we don't know where William Irwin Thompson came from. We don't even know where he came from. So good.
Yeah.
But we'll do it. But we knew it. Yeah. Reckon we got that. We got that.
So I actually know I was with Dave Worster the night. See, when we started off New Year's Eve 69, we didn't know where this article was going. And now it turns out to be a tremendous important night for Alan Cabal. And on that night, I was hanging out with Dave Worster, who would be a good precursor to all that came. I mean, Ion did compliment Worster.
Yes.
He said Worster in the 60s went where man's mind had never gone before. He said that.
Yeah, so you would think he would be more open to knowing about Ion.
So here's Alan taking a drug to go to some nether white light, clear white light of stupidity, ended up just like in a fetal position for 8 hours. And I'm sitting there with the white light of where the mind of man never went before. I was sitting there with that person. Conscious. I wasn't in fetal position. I was at the center of the fractal.
Eliza, did you say that? Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Bob, you sent an email to him and he still has not responded at all?
Yeah, let's look up our correspondence record.
What do we have here? To a cabal. So the first thing I wrote to him was, the title says, "All that I told you I'd do 10 or 11 years ago came true, Alan, ... Reading all of your series at splicetoday.com, I noticed you use the iatrogenic fact that my bride of 44 years created." And I give Carolyn's Death My Modern Medicine link. And I say, "There are a few other neat overlaps, too. Meanwhile, I've got a revolution by the tail and breaking all records." And I link to the archive, Bob and I in archive. Then I say, "That's all I'm going to type until I see if this reaches you." So I give my name and phone number. We don't hear back. So then I sent an email after, less than a week ago. "We read and discussed your February 27th tumult on April 20th column on my payday show last Saturday." And I give a link to the show and I say it starts at 1736. And I sign it. That's that. This week I'll say, "We read and discussed your acid trip and realized you failed to show up at my New Year's Eve party because you went fetal. You're on the verge of being fired."
You're like, "Hey, fuckface." You missed it.
"Hey, fuckface." Yeah, that's a good one. "Hey, Reverend Fuckface." Isn't that interesting? I called Ginny Reverend Fuckface, 6 months, a year ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's pretty... We hadn't gone into this. And then that's the fucking... In his story, that's what the computer says, right? The iPhone says, "Hey, Fuckface."
What?
Am I right?
Wait.
Yeah. Yes.
And I tell you, there's something uncannily overlapping between him and me. Like, he's at the bottom of society in 1969. They're very, a teenage hustler. And he's hanging out with the scene makers. And I'm at the top of society, hanging out with the other ne'er-do-well, Dave Worster. And he's having an amazing night, and I'm hearing about George Russell. You should look up the name of that guy. The guy who could see into stars. And then we meet 20, 35 years later. And then he leaves New York. And he goes to Lawrence, Kansas, where we... got together with J.W. October 20s, that week of the 20s, 22nd, 2008. And ION, that meeting was really about ION. That was an ionic get-together. There
you
was
went to
multiple
the same
JWs
town?
At that, multiple JWs at that meeting. What'd you say?
It was the same town he moved to?
Yeah, he leaves New York and goes to Lawrence, Kansas. In 2005, and then I show up there 3 years later.
It'd be funny to see your map of journey where you've traveled to, and which year and his, and overlay them, see the difference where you were.
Well,
you
start off saying it is funny. What was your first words?
It would be funny to see the synchronicities and the where you were in 1969, where he was in 1969, and if there was like this map where you drew
that. Yeah, so 35 years later, I find that, 35, 69, 30 is 99, 2004, it's about then, I find he makes one of the best statements about Marshall McLuhan. "I'm McLuhan's archivist, world expert." And this kid, it was blasting out the same night I was with Worster, and he says, "Marshall McLuhan is the Andy Warhol of big science." It's a very good statement.
So he was on the right track. He made a statement that got my attention. And then the editor said, well, you ought to meet Alan. So he arranged for us to meet. And then he said, let's do an interview. And then he didn't really do much of an interview as far as I could see.
Wow, Kapal said that? He said that, that Marsh McLuhan was the greatest. Really?
No, he said Marsh McLuhan was the Andy Warhol of big science.
Wow.
McLuhan definitely took on big science. Now, he's talking about the Everett. What the fuck was that? Everett Wheeler. Isn't Everett where Worcester lives right now?
The Everett Wheeler hypothesis?
Everett Wheeler. Everett is where Dave, the Everett Wheeler hypothesis. Everett's where Dave Wheeler. Everett is where Dave Worcester lives. Wheeler is that little girl in Dartmouth that we pretended
carelessly
placed. The Everett Wheeler hypothesis, and he's having this experience when I'm where the guy's going to end up in Everett.
Drill, drill.
I used to get synchronicities with Ron Rosenbaum, a columnist for the New York Observer, and I found out where he's been writing lately at Salon. So I'm going to catch up on his articles, see if there's any overlap. But used to read him in the 90s, and he'd always be doing something that was close to what I was doing. And it's obscure stuff for most people. So I think Alan is the new overlap here. Like, yeah. He says, it was 40 years before the full realization that the endocrine system and bacterial hives in the human body influence human consciousness. That's a fucked up statement compared to what we
Yes,
know.
It is. Thank you.
Yeah.
That pissed me right off, too.
If you don't know about chromosome 14 and what we've learned from ion and the RNA drops, you'll work with the old 3D body system. We probably do work on the endocrine system and bacterial hives, but that's not the right terms. Your brain is not the boss. We know that. Ion says it's not even consciousness. Conventional science is still resistant to the idea that the signal of consciousness determines the physical form. Well, no, that could be adapted to what the Egyptians said, that your words create reality. But Ian doesn't even stand by that statement anymore. I perceive my core consciousness as fractal, a complex convergence of varying biological functions and hives attracted to a signal. See, the point is, Ian can diss every one of anybody's statements and say, try this. Try our living water.
He's kind of explaining a disassociative experience that he had one time from recollect very detailedly, very.
Yeah.
But
he's a crazy teenager. Yeah. You know, he's feeling immortal. He can take anything. The Juvenile Leisure Service of Funzi Tiri Jersey Outfit. That's maybe a mafia name. Funzi Tiri's Jersey Outfit. Juvenile Leisure Service. It's almost like he's taken the wisdom school of a juvenile delinquent and criminal punk, and he became wise through it. You know, it was his school of hard knocks.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't matter how far you got today. Even the 418 group are sitting around saying, boys, we're going to have to deal with this. This iron character shaking everything up. You can't let Bob get away with his crap. Bob's sitting there gloating because he's fucking got the key to the fractal Everett Wheeler hypothesis mixed in with the Copenhagen hypothesis and a few other Tim Leary abstractions, compliments of Gurdjieff. And he's also the world expert on Marsh McLuhan and Finning's Wake. So we have 2015. Our job for 2015 is cut out for us. And on top of that, he's got that little girl of a wife there who it's impossible to stop.
Daisy?
What?
What? Daisy? His wife?
No, my wife. They're saying, before he
takes
Bob got what we just said he's got. He's also got that little wife of his who's fucking impossible to stop. Smartest woman in the universe. Well, what are we going to do, boys? So they probably go, I think we have to bring in our girlfriends on this one. I think the women might have an angle on Dr. Dean that we wouldn't.
Yeah, right. She'll give them their angles back.
Did you hear my what you thing this week, Bert?
Yes.
Did you hear me threaten everybody? They all got 6 months.
It's funny how, because you mentioned it a couple of times. I think it was the last or the third time you mentioned it. I could tell a nervous laugh in Leon and Kate, you know.
Yeah.
I'm like, Bob's telling us something.
Okay, so after the show, you know, when we do the Bill show and nobody can hear, it's not recorded.
Yeah.
Renee says, so Bob, tell us more about this 6 month thing, man. Well, what is this? Tell us more. I was just making it up, Renee. I was just fucking creating good radio. And man, did Leon and Jermaine and Kate start laughing. They were relieved. Bob was just bullshitting.
Right.
Bob, I liked how you thanked them for coming to their own show. You're like, thank you for coming to the show.
Well, that's the way you are today.
You're welcome.
Well, you gave them the excuses. Jermaine just straight up was like, oh, I just, you know.
I forgot what time was.
I was reading
the world. I got my new RD drops.
Bye-bye time because you gave me the allowance of that, so.
Right, yeah. Jermaine was saying basically I got lost between the Everwheeler hypothesis and the Copenhagen hypothesis and didn't know what acid I was on.
He said I was in another world. La-di-da.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, that's a good one. Which employer would say, okay, you're forgiven.
Right. I know she's good.
Good excuse.
She's
it's a fun show to
eight.
Listen to. It's a fun show, Bob. What cracked me up was Kate when she said, can you tell me who Socrates is?
Oh, yeah. That was classic. I was like, who?
I knew who she meant. Isn't that's how fucked up it is, Alan, with these young kids, man. They've never read a book with the word Socrates in it. Never heard anybody
Aww.
Say it to them. Socrates.
Socrates.
I didn't hear her do that. Who is that?
I didn't hear her do that, but I figured that's what she had meant. I'm guilty of that. There are.
Why did you open up the statement, I didn't hear her do that?
I'm defending her right to have knowledge about something she can't pronounce. You guys are all laughing. You're like, Socrates.
Yeah, but your opening statement,
she's
I didn't
never
hear
read
her
a
do
book.
That.
You mean, said she's
see,
never
that's
read
not
a
what
book.
You meant. I didn't hear her do that. You're trying to say something else. You did hear her do that.
No, I haven't heard that part of the show. I haven't heard her do that.
So what are you saying?
Just that I'm guilty of doing that a lot. Is that
oh,
yourself.
You guys? Yes, you actually did it about 10 minutes
ago. I could
ago.
Do that more you, often,
you,
yeah.
Yeah, you did
guys,
that 10 minutes
we're laughing
ago.
About
you
it. I'm inquiring.
Backwards. Yeah, that's, you guys are more and more growing up isolated. You're not in any group or any teacher that says in the canon, the Western canon. You don't get the basic words.
See, that's where de Kirchhoff comes in.
Yes.
For the it's economical.
Oh, yeah, let's go back to de Kirchhoff. Let's hear some more of that stuff here.
Okay. Oh,
called it a Manipian global theater.
Jeez.
I forgot. I used that phrase and that idea for years. I didn't know he had actually said it. See, this is a global, that's the android meme satirizing us.
There I am. How's that for a nice thing to leap to? I'm thinking that he said this.
He have extended themselves. They're not talking to us. They're satirizing us. So that's the Manipian Global Theater. That's incredible. I mean, I thought I came up with that. And then to come here and see that Barry has it, that's why you always have to come back. You always have to reread them because you find things before. That's good art.
Oh, Bob.
Yeah, and then I had to reread it again and find out Barry didn't say it. I don't know what I'll find next week when I reread it.
Oh,
well, we'll
so
have
good.
An exit where we reread the paragraph.
Oh, I love it. Oh, that's so funny.
Second day, yeah. And Derek's looking at the same thing I'm looking, but we're so involved in talking, he doesn't notice.
I know,
that,
it's your
that, that Barry did write it.
Yourself
he should have corrected
the Android
me.
Yeah. And you find stuff you didn't notice. That's incredible. He's got Manipian Global Theater there. Created by the instant replay technology. Created by the instant replay technologies. That's what I'm trying to say, that there's no now. There's a satirical effort to present a now more geared to you, you know, what you were saying about what the kids are being provided. Their world is your world, and it's all about you. That's a Manipian action, and that's what the kids don't understand. That's, and I don't know if they, how many could understand that.
To my point. No, this is very, very interesting. Anyway, I am now developing the notion of Jesuit 2.0. Did I tell you about that?
Yes, yeah, you did in Nice, but you can say it again.
That's about education. It's about education. I'm going to present it to at least one of the top counselors of the Pope next week, so I'm really working on it.
Yeah, what did you say? What
the Pope is a Jesuit,
kind
you know.
Of new grammar? What was it you said it was?
No, it was a very, there was a simple concept that the Jesuits, actually, Ignatius of Loyola, the founder of the Jesuit order, was just one among many founders of religious orders, but his purpose and his statement of purpose was to develop the missions, which all the religious orders were supposed to do. Some of them were contemplative. They didn't have to go out and do things. But anyway, this one was develop the missions was one thing, and then to develop an educational format, a real pedagogy for to train the future people, the future persons responsible for the public good, and trained them in a religious Catholic way, I suppose, as well, had developed this formidable, almost military mode of training kids, but including the very thing that all religious orders combined to hate, to abhor, which was theater. And because the Greeks had theater and the Jesuits, or Ignatius, had understood the value of theater to create a person. Put yourself on and suddenly you become somebody. And so what I'm saying about this is all based on the alphabet and on the renaissance of the Greek or Greco-Roman culture. This is all normal. Normal in the sense that the content of the cultural biases of that period were borrowed for a good reason from the very time, depending on the alphabet and on the creation of individuals. So there's a Jesuit come along and are the first religious or actually social order that come up with a form, you know, a structured formal educational system. And so what I mean by Jesuit 2.0 is we need again somebody like Ignatius of Loyola who would not necessarily retake the old model, although the old model is still working and still used in most schools, but would create a completely new model of the relationship between children in the total environment, denuded in front of the total environment, ubiquitous. What is it, you know, how do you train kids today?
Well,
certainly not by repeating the old format.
Well, actually, I mean, I claim to, you know, I started a show to reach out to, quote, young people, and I call it What Youth. We point out that there's no such category anymore. And I pointed out last time that we need to make them warriors.
And
that's right.
Not paranoid
what
warriors.
You, yeah, I remember.
Yeah, comprehensive.
Sorry, we did talk about it, but I just thought.
No, but I'm saying that I can see that we're developing it. I'm going to do a Ted Carpenter on you. There's a Kirchhoff ripped off all my ideas.